aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Friday.
Thank you. It is a, it's not Good Friday. It's a Good Friday, though, because we have an amazing show planned. Now, what has often happened is, you know, the best laid plans of mice and talk show hosts don't always come to fruition, but on paper, as they like to say, in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, on paper, I'm worth $50 million.
On paper, this show is worth $2 billion. This show actually would make the list, the Forbes list that came out this week. If that's how
of self-made shows?
Self-made shows, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're self-made. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're all self-made.
See?
We did it all ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Just like
we assembled all the parts.
Just like the Jenners.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, speaking of assembling all the parts, mm-hmm. that fits him too, or her. You know what I mean.
Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you. Nice
thank
to
you.
Him or
I was
her.
Waiting. I didn't want to be the one to say it. Thank you.
No one has wished
Kevin.
Me International Happy International Women's Day. I'm kind of offended by that. So you maybe her gender equality.
You know, here is the my feeling on this is that you could get in trouble for not acknowledging it.
Right.
You know, this is now
you have to celebrate this day.
Yeah.
You don't get credit for saying it. You get deducted points if you do not in some way acknowledge
yes.
it.
Yes.
In a major way, though. I mean, you've got to, you know, throw
you
a party, buy somebody a gift for it. If you don't,
yeah,
not respecting it's women in 2019.
Kind of getting a little like Valentine's Day. Just a little.
The ladies on the show will be expecting our gifts at some point. About five? Top five? Right before top five at five?
Is that I like sparkly
I'm going to give
things.
You a gift.
And
I'm gonna,
pizza. That's great.
I'm going to give you a gift of music today. I mentioned this just with John a few seconds ago. But we have the Priscillas with us. Today, this is an all-woman band. Years ago, they were the Kimmy Hayes band, or the version of them was the Kimmy Hayes band. And they used to be with me for a lot of live shows. And they are one of the most amazingly precise. They make it their own. They play a lot of covers. But all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, that's that song I love.
Mm.
But they make it so much their own, and they are so great, and they are so just a slashing rock and roll band. None of this thoughtful singer songwriter crap that we do so often on this show.
We've had some great, great talent on the show. They were described as gritty and soulful, which sounds great to me. I'm excited to hear them. I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, they're amazing. Wait till you hear. They're coming your way at 6 o'clock. So if you can't stay till 6, we encourage you to do it. But if you can't, come back at 6. And if you happen to be, you have a smart speaker or something, it's a good way to test out how great Studio G sounds over here. Because you just say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn to your smart speaker, and they will do that. And it pops up, and you're going to hear this in full vibrance. Although, I think it's pretty cool coming over the AM, too, because of the compression. But wait till you hear them. They're amazing.
Or if you have multiple smart speakers, as we learned you do, you put them all in the same room, and you hear, like, that stereo thing. So put them all right there in front of you and just see how it sounds.
I have just lined my bed with them. I moved my bed is I just line them up on the end of the I sleep in the middle.
Okay.
Right, and of course, you know, I sleep in like Ebenezer Scrooge. I wear like a sleeping dress, and I have gloves. I moisturize my hands, and I put them in gloves, and then I lie there like I'm dead. And
do you have the long stocking cap too?
I do, and I have
it keeps your head warm.
I have staff that just places me in this bed before I get, and then they put all of the speakers around me, and then I ask the smart speakers to do things, and then sometimes they don't work left right the way that I need them to, and then that's how it goes.
Well, you can get in a fight with one of them, and then maybe another one will still talk to you, so it works out. Because you don't have a great relationship I've seen with your smart speakers.
I don't. She doesn't like me very
voice
much.
Voice activated. Machinery.
Yeah, that Lexi, as we have to call her, so we don't activate yours if you're listening. I don't get along great with her.
No.
I'll tell you that right now.
I woke up this morning and mine was the one on my nightstand was glowing yellow, and I haven't seen that color, and I worried. I go, she's been listening to me. She must have heard the show yesterday.
Yeah, yellow means recording.
What? Does it really?
No, I have no idea.
I go, what is this yellow?
Great. Oh, did you see what she just did there?
Yeah, you scared
me. Look at how mischievous Jen has gotten in these last couple of days.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was keeping my mouth shut for the first 2 months, right?
Yeah, you're a troublemaker. Yeah. Now, right. And now that, you
drop
know.
It and leave.
Now she's going to other places. She's like, hey, I don't know. Look, watch this. Kaboom.
It's International Women's Day. She's just asserting
her
voice.
You know, every time I come. home, my my Lexi is unplugged. My husband, I don't know, he hates it or something, but then I also...
He feels like she's listening to everything.
I sometimes turn it on from my phone so he can hear us on WGN.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, what is going on?
And then he unplugs it. He hates it so much, he unplugs it.
He thinks it's just starting, you know, by itself, but it's me.
You know, I would talk to her about that when you get home and see if see what she's hearing right before he's unplugging.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, you could. That's right. She could tell on him.
Yeah.
What has he been listening to and for how long?
Yes.
Is he
watching on
unplugged?
TV? What's he do? You know, has he got some on his iPad?
You do know that, like, she keeps a log of everything you ask. And if you have the app, which I'm the administrator for, I can see everything
asked. Oh, Jen.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, Jen.
What do you mean that's true?
It's mostly like much wood would a woodchuck chuck? Or whatever, and can you play Baby Shark? And
great song. How do you delete all this information off your Lexi? Because
the person
this is
who's
concerning
the
to me.
Account administrator can do it, so I can do it. But you know.
You can delete the search history, but
thank God,
as we know, they're never truly deleted.
Nope.
I got to say that this is one of the greatest acts ever by CLTV, who's doing this show right now. They found stock footage of Lexi products to put up while we're talking about this. And that is pretty amazing. That's good work.
It's amazing.
There.
It wasn't blinking yellow there or orange. It was blinking blue.
Now, by the way, when it's blinking that orange yellow, mm-hmm. that means it's got a message for you. It's got it has to tell you something. I've been meaning it breaks up with you. That's what's happened with me. It's like
I didn't know that it did that.
It does that. It's sort of it goes. Would you mind sitting down? We have to talk about something. And I'm like, what? I don't think this is working out. What do you mean?
It's not working out.
It's really you, not me. I would like you to put me back in my box and send me back to Amazon.
I need a new owner.
Well, what kind of message could it be sending me?
It tells you about like an update or something.
Okay.
It's, you know, some.
You were an idiot last night.
Who was she?
What did I do?
Who was she?
See, when they start passing judgment, then it's going to get really weird.
We're just friends, I swear.
So fine. So you're going to bring trash home right in front of me? All right. Don't anybody
She's
move.
A lovely lady.
On the other one. On the other side, Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN-TV newsroom. We're going to tell you how you can actually help a family who really does need it right now. So
awesome.
That's coming your way in just a moment. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, no big surprise, but Willie Wilson officially announces his choice for Chicago's next mayor.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanzis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Happy Friday to you guys. A rare Friday appearance with you two.
Right, because we're always too busy for you.
No, I think the Knarble wagon's usually rolling by this time, and you don't want to share your liquor.
That's really true.
It's true. It has to be locked up these days.
We have a rum presentation today for the Knarble wagon.
Ooh.
I'm told that this is very visual. I said, you know, this is radio. They said, yes.
But is it rum or rum chata?
And now it's rum.
Okay. Because you got to be careful with rum chata.
Yes.
A couple of my wife's girlfriends love the rum chata. And let me just say, if you have too much, things can get a little ugly.
Yeah.
Have you had to help with everyone after these parties, like clean up the messes?
I've had to help with Ben's wife. That's that is how close this whole thing has become.
Yes,
and he's had to help me a few times too.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think you helped me with my wife that time that she asked Gary McCarthy if he was our waiter at Gibson's while he was the police superintendent.
Oh,
well, he has a mustache. Y'all have mustaches at Gibson's. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that might have been,
They do kind of resemble, they have that look.
I believe rum chata had affected her facial recognition software in her brain that night.
Oh, my God. By the way, fine Chicago product, rum chata.
Oh, it is.
Started right here.
I did not know that.
Must be why it's so popular. I do see it around.
Yeah, you see it at Wrigley Field.
Yeah. Private parties, right. too.
I don't know if they styled. I don't think those guys sold the company, but it was started. The guys who did it were right here.
Mm.
So, including they had a lot of investors, including one who may have a lot to do with this company. So, be careful what you say.
Love the rum chata.
We love rum
love
chata.
It. Love it.
All right, now, I wanted, this is a serious moment.
Yes.
Because obviously we had a loss of life in the law enforcement community in Illinois this week. McHenry County Sheriff was killed. Robert Forsyth was killed while attempting to serve civil papers, we're being told now. Civil papers. And then there was, we thought that was an arrest warrant, right? I mean, maybe that's a term for it.
Yeah, so it was actually McHenry County Sheriff's Deputy Jake Keltner was there assisting with the U.S. Marshals Service in their Great Lakes Fugitive Task Force. And they'd gone to this guy Floyd Brown's room, and he was staying at a motel. He was there with his girlfriend up on the third floor. And the Great Lakes Fugitive Task Force has a lot of experience in not only seeking out and finding guys who law enforcement is seeking, but also in safe ways to approach, to set up, to have a defensive posture. And this one just went south. It's proof that this is kind of one of the most dangerous things that people in law enforcement will do. And we got some new information from the criminal complaint that was filed in this case about how this went down at this motel in Rockford. So when a member of the task force had knocked on the motel room door, the suspect's girlfriend kind of opened it a little bit. He said, "Don't do it." That's when, and the door then shut. That's when the task force had the key and tried to force their way in. Shots were fired, and this suspect jumped out of a third floor window. Mm. But this task force was prepared for that because they had police down on the ground out the back of the motel. But as this guy comes out of the third floor window, we believe that's where he encountered the McHenry County Sheriff's Deputy who was assigned to that fugitive task force and shot and killed that deputy. Then the suspect gets in his car and heads 140 miles south. This was a pursuit down Interstate 55 until a state trooper eventually ran him off the road into a ditch. There was a standoff. The snow was falling. Police didn't know how this was going to go down. Finally, as darkness started to settle in, they tossed some flashbang grenades in there to kind of disorient the guy, took him into custody. He's actually been hospitalized. We originally thought he was going to have a court appearance today, mm-hmm. but his condition is not improved enough, so that court appearance got pushed to Monday.
And is that from jumping, or what was
Well,
he?
We don't know. That's a great question, right? Mm-hmm. You jump out a third-floor window, there's going to be some injuries there. We understand police, at least according to the initial reports I saw, there was not an exchange of gunfire at that Rockford motel. It was just the suspect shooting at police. And then he continued.
And they did not return fire.
They did not return fire, correct. But as he was fleeing down the highway, he apparently had a rifle that he was pointing out the window. And there may have been shots fired on the interstate.
Wow.
So just in an incredibly dangerous scene. This guy's got a rap sheet a mile long. He's been to prison for everything, you know, from a couple of burglary times. There is a violation of an order of protection. He got released from the Illinois Department of Corrections January 18th, but there were still warrants out for his arrest from three Illinois counties, and that's why the Great Lakes Fugitive Task Force was after him.
And the USMarshalsFund.org is where, that's a website you can go to and you make a donation to this deputy's family. He has two kids, right? He leaves behind a widow and two children. I believe they're 6 and 4 years old. And so we, to the Kelsner family, we would like to make sure that people have an opportunity to express their respect and their thanks and their grief if they would like to make a donation. U.S. Marshals Fund, that's plural, .org.
And there was some confusion yesterday about whether he was a U.S. Marshal or whether he was a McHenry County Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't have a true appreciation for just how much cooperation there is between various law enforcement agencies, where they are not only sharing intel and information, but they're embedding in each other's task forces. So he's
right.
a McHenry County Sheriff's deputy who had the specialized training, had been essentially deputized to act in the role of a U.S. Marshal to be part of this team. And that's, by the way, why the feds are going to prosecute this guy and not the local Winnebago County Sheriff, because he was acting in his role for the federal government as part of this Marshals Task Force. The feds are going to go after him, obviously, right, for this murder charge.
And I think that's death eligible, right?
Yes, at the federal level, yeah, it would be, not at the state level, which is one more reason that they would choose to prosecute it federally.
Right. Yeah. And there's a number, too, 202-505-FUND, if people want to give money. 202-505-FUND, and the money, and you can earmark the money to go to this family, because it is an incredible story. And
it is.
And you talk about, you know, we can't express enough, this isn't television, right? You know, when people, when they go and kick in the door, things get messy. Can you just imagine what it is like to stand there and know that in just a moment, you flashbangs or whatever, you're going to go through that door and you do not know what's on the other side. Military does it. Law enforcement does it every day in this country. And you don't know what you're running into. It takes an amazing amount of bravery because they got to take bad people off the street.
And it shows you just how committed / crazed some of these bad guys are to get away from law enforcement, be that shooting at them or jumping out of the third floor window, then firing, then taking off on a 140-mile
odyssey. That's the craziest part.
Yeah.
Craziest.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. All right. Ben, thank you very much. What's coming up?
We're going to have much more on that. Also, R. Kelly's attorneys making some suggestions that they may have scraped together the cash to get him out of jail. We don't know if they have, in fact, done that. We're covering that for you. And then Aaron Ivory has the story on this International Women's Day from the northwest suburbs of a group of women who came together to help a single mother get back on her feet. It's a really nice story you'll want to see tonight.
Awesome.
Okay.
Be sure to wish all your colleagues happy International Women's Day.
Should I just kind of turn and do that now?
Yes, I think proactively it would be good to do that.
To all of my colleagues, I wish you a happy International Women's Day. Not you, men. Al, no, not you.
You know, it's really funny. Now, if you're watching on CLTV, there's a young woman over your right shoulder.
Yes.
Who, when you did that, looked at you and with the expression of, what an ass. She had the.
They always give me that look.
Yes.
Yeah.
All I could make out from reading her lips was whole. That was the look. That's all I. You know.
She didn't call you that.
I think you swore at me. Is that true? Yes. She said
She's
no comment.
Not answering that question. Yeah, I saw it. Just tell her I saw it. And you know what? We all agree with you, ma'am. All right. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
Staying out of it.
All right.
This is why I don't join you usually on Fridays.
Yes, exactly right, because the drinking's flowing. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. Let's now check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News being brought to you by Northwest Community Healthcare.
Oh, Susie Q.
Oh, that music can be only one thing.
Oh, Susie Q.
Susan Schmidt, as we call her, Susie Sunshine, and she doesn't like it just one bit, but she's gotten used to it. She is the head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors, and she watches the markets for us and just lets us know, you know, like, just sort of trends that are developing here.
Right, we try to keep you from panicking, Ro. That's what we do.
That's a simple thing. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
All right, well, now, so I did. This morning, I woke up, you know, my Lexi, as we have to call her around here, you know, she, at 8 o'clock in the morning, she's like, get up! Get up! That's how they do it now with the smart speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at my phone, and I see the jobs report had come out. And that was a little scary.
Wasn't what was expected or anticipated, that's for
right?
sure.
Well, yeah, 20,000. So that is a really low number. And it's so low that it makes me think that something's wrong with the data. So remember that we had some really bad weather. We had, you know, there's always a question on data. And every once in a while, it just skews off. We don't get the right measurement. So 20,000, incredibly low, particularly when you compare it to the private payroll data that was released on Wednesday, it came in at, you know, 170-some thousand. So, big discrepancy there. That 20,000, I think, made the markets a little bit nervous, but because the number just seems so off, people look past it. The trend has been good. We've been hiring a good number of jobs, and in fact, back to the ADP data, January was revised up. January got revised up. It was over 200,000 jobs on the initial reading, and now it's, you know, they added 300-some thousand jobs in January. So that's really positive, and it speaks to strength in the underlying economy. So I wouldn't panic about the 20,000 number. I think it's really an anomaly, and I would wait and see what next month's reading is, but the market didn't, you know, worry too much about it. They kind of absorbed it, took it in stride, and said, all right, we'll just move on here.
See, there were guys, because I watched at the open of the market at 8:30, and I'm like waiting to see the thing just take a nosedive, and it didn't. I mean, it went down a little bit. There's always going to be those computers that are going to kick in, and then people like me, they're calling the broker panicking.
Sell.
Yeah.
Is that what you do, Ron?
Yeah, that's what I do. But the, and then if you watch the news, and again, this is where, this is how scary 2018 and 19 have become, because now you could just find, it's even more so than it was in 2016 or any time prior. You can now find any news source you want that will make you feel good about your own opinions. And sometimes your opinions aren't fact. They're just your opinions. They don't come from any sort of basis of knowledge of anything. And that's the kind of thing where, you know, you have some cable news channels running away with, wow, finally the recession has begun that we've all been waiting. Bad economic news for the president, because you did have a couple bad numbers this week. You had the deficit is up, and the trade deficit is now at historical highs for the United States. And then you have this number come out, and it freaks everybody out. But because, I think, to Susan's point here, because it is so off all the other data that we've seen. It's been averaging, I think, since Trump became president, it's been averaging about 270,000 jobs a month. That's a big, in terms of new jobs.
Yeah.
That's a big number. And then to all of a sudden have, and there were times where it was down to 100,000 or whatever, but to go down to 20,000, especially when
to 20.
ADP
2020
was
anemic.
No one's seen that number. And so it is anemic. It doesn't make any sense with the other data that we're seeing. Now, we saw some other soft data this week. The deficit number did come out, and it is the worst number that we've seen in the last decade. But remember that the last decade is 2008. It was actually worse before. So 2008, we're beginning the recession. People aren't spending. It was actually worse. It was an even bigger deficit prior to that. And so the irony is that the deficit is growing while the Trump administration is really focused on trying to reduce the deficit. The deficit in goods exists.
We're talking about the economic. I just want to make it clear, because we have to separate these two things out. We're not talking about the trade deficit, which, you know, they talk about, and they use as a political tool and misrepresent what the trade deficit means. We're talking about the actual deficit. The difference between the amount of money that the government takes in, given the amount of money that the government takes in versus spends.
This is true. All right, so Ro, that feeds into, we did see the deficit overall this month, this week, and we were talking about that with services being a surplus and the trade goods deficit being negative, but that trade goods deficit and consumer spend has been impacted because the government is getting less revenue, and we saw those tax cuts flow through. The price of oil has been down, and a lot of that's building the goods deficit up is that Americans are back to spending again. They got a break in taxes. Corporations got a big break in taxes, and people are feeling good about the economy. Gas prices have stayed low. They're spending on stuff again.
Well, that plays into the jobs report number, because if you think about how low the unemployment rate is right now, you virtually have a situation where anybody who wants to have a job can snag a job in this economy, one would think. And then wages are also ticking up slightly. I think the issue, though, I wanted to ask you about, Susan, in the jobs report is that construction jobs lost quite a bit here. And you look at what jobs, you know, were not a part of this that they had anticipated. And I wondered, is that because there's a construction, some type of slowdown, or is that because there was the weather? Was it attributed to the weather again in terms of what types of jobs?
To the weather. So in that, look at the fierce winter we've had throughout most of the country. That construction number can vary quite a bit, and it is largely related to what the weather is. On a construction front, we haven't seen a surge in home building, but we have seen a consistent strength in commercial building. So when you look around Chicagoland, there are a lot of buildings going up. There are a lot of cranes in the sky. And it really speaks to the fact that building's ongoing. And when it pauses, it's usually because it's, you know, freezing weather. They can't work. They have to take a construction slowdown. And so that's what's happening.
Do you think, as we're moving forward here, that we are at the end of a cycle? It's a 10-year cycle generally on recovery. We are near the end. There has been there are a lot of economists out there who say that at any moment we do have to start to see some sort of a pullback, more than just a correction. And yet we hadn't seen it. We thought we were heading into it in the fourth quarter of last year. We didn't. And it seems like it's all guns blazing, save this particular unemployment number that was anemic today. And again, we've kind of everybody's written that off. Is there anything else that you see in the market or in the marketplace or in the economy that gives you any kind of pause for what the next 6 months are going to look like?
Well, I think if you look at the near term, the market right now is largely expecting there to be some sort of agreement made with China that's going to be good overall for business, that's not going to be too detrimental. And the market increase in recent weeks has been because of that. I think this week we saw the first bad week of the year with the S&P and the Dow Jones going negative ever so slightly, just 2%. Remember, we're up 20% essentially from that December 24th low. So we've had quite a move. So the market's backed off a little bit because people are realizing that what's priced in is all the good news. Now, that trade deal with China, we hope, gets announced on March 27th, but we don't know yet. So that's still just guessing, and the market is very optimistic about it. That's the exact opposite of how the market was feeling back in December when they were sure that things with China were going to go terribly wrong and everyone was really negative and nervous about it. So I think that there's some volatility ahead of us still because right now the market has moved to a positive position, sort of assuming things are going to go well. We have had a good support from the Fed. And one of the things that we're seeing, we saw soft economic data from China today, but overall the Chinese data has been improving. So China's been working on stimulating their economy for about the last 9 months, and we're starting to see that take hold. I think the market's counting on that offsetting the weakness that we're seeing in Europe.
There was a little bit of a hit to tech stocks today, and some are attributing that to Senator Warren saying she wants to break up the biggies, like the Facebooks and the Amazons, the Googles. She thinks that she's going to introduce some sort of a legislation to break them up. They're too powerful. Is that some kind of a trend line we should be watching?
Well, that goes back to volatility. So we are going to get some comments out of Washington about the tech stocks, about some of these big businesses that have perhaps gotten too big in the eyes of the regulators, or people want to be seen as, you know, that's their political position and perhaps their platform for the next campaign is they're going to take them on. And I think that's going to add to volatility in that sector. So remember, I think the market has moved from a very negative position to a very positive position. We've got a lot of things that can, you know, shots across the bow that can be made. This comments on the tech sector are one of them. And it can introduce volatility into the market. So back to what are you looking for the next 6 months? Be careful, because I do think we can see a lot of volatility. Right now, we're taking a lot for granted. If things don't seem so rosy, the market could take that as a negative sign and quickly reverse.
She made a really interesting argument in doing this today, though, because she's using the same logic that the Federal Trade Commission and the Federal Communications Commission have used basically for the last almost 100 years mm-hmm. about mass media, which is that you don't want it consolidated to the level that it's consolidated, and that you have to look at Facebook and Google, Amazon, all of those things as people who not only own the pipes, they own the marketplace essentially here. Mm-hmm. When you go there, it's either the marketplace of stuff like at Amazon or Google for that matter, if you want to buy things. But they also own the rules of how to she equated it, they're the umpire in the game and they own the teams as well. So doesn't that open up the possibility of rigging the outcome for the consumer mm-hmm. that the consumer can't control? So if you go to Amazon, Amazon's algorithm can move certain products, can punish products versus others, send things to you that you might want, but not send the competitive product to you that you might want at a better price or whatever it happens to be. You don't get the choices you feel like you think you're getting mm-hmm. when you're going through those. And I think that that's a worthwhile argument to have. There's a worthwhile conversation to have. And what will be very interesting is, will the president and Elizabeth Warren end up on the same page about Amazon? right? Because he wants to break up Amazon too, but more because he's mad at
his them. Is partly personal.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be a shock to have both of them on the same side of an issue.
I would love to see them campaign together. I think, and then I would then what great. I'd like to see happen is for them to like fall in love while they're on the campaign together. They look into each other's eyes because they're the same height, and they can look into each other's eyes and be like, "Oh, you're the one. No, you're the one. No, you're the one." I think that would be the perfect end to this whole era, don't you? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Please don't.
Never happen.
Please don't send the clip of this to your bosses. All right. Thank you very much, Susan Schmidt. Susie Sunshine, as she's known here, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, you too. All right, let's check in now with Kim, find out what's happening at the top of the hour.
Ro, the polar vortex caused more problems than we thought.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Don't forget, if you would like a deck, a brand new deck, absolutely free, you can get it just by going to WGNradio.com/contests.
How about that?
That's all you got to do. You got to be a little lucky, too.
Yeah.
But you go there, you have a chance to win a 12-by-16-foot rectangular deck built by Archidec of Chicagoland, constructed of TimberTech product. And no deck is complete without a place to sit. And this price package includes a 3-piece cushioned sectional with a fire pit table from American Sail. It's from their Bella collection. And you'll be cooking on your brand new deck with a Weber Spirit 2 Series gas grill from Weber, it says that? Here.
Doesn't get better than that.
Doesn't get better than that.
It's the primo stuff.
Kev's got one of those.
I do. I you love do? It. Oh, yeah. Not that, but it's the Spirit.
You got the Spirit.
So, yeah, it's the Spirit.
Tell you something about that. See, there's a way to hack the system with the Webers.
What do you do? What's the tip?
Tell you, yes,
what
you
do
know,
you mean? Why wouldn't you tell us?
Because it's, I don't want to create a problem for anybody. But there's a way to do it where you can get that thing to really heat up.
Get a real nice sear on a steak.
The Weber is the best.
The best
because it's simple technology, but it is also it's so durable, and they last in weather and everything. It's basically they're the taste of America. Weber.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna use it this weekend.
How about that?
What are you gonna cook, Kev?
I think I'm gonna go steak.
Yeah, actually, an entire side of a cow.
Pretty much. That's the way
you put it on there,
and that's it. Just the steak, no sides.
Why bother?
A New York strip and a side of a filet.
Yeah. So you're gonna do a porterhouse.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, bone in. That's real nice. And then they get that seared up real good.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I like to do that. And then where the flames are shooting out from underneath the lid, you're not supposed to they say very clearly on the instructions
that's
you shouldn't
not
do
supposed
that.
To happen.
They say that very clearly. I, on the other hand, have not obeyed that completely.
I just envision Ro with like a chef's hat and a 10-foot high flame coming out of his deck.
Don't worry about it.
That's
we're good.
Mr. Khan's
but
cooking again.
But you know what I do? You freeze the steaks. You know what my trick
is?
You
told me about that technique.
Wait, you freeze them and then put them on right on the
frozen sear type situation.
You put them on and then you sear them over the flame. You can cook them like in 7 minutes over the flame. You flip them, and the thing is because they're frozen, you don't actually you just sear the outside, and then the inside is like
gets warm,
medium rare. Oh. Best.
That's a trick. That's a pro trick.
It's a yeah.
Pro tip.
Yep. It's a little something. But you got to have it super hot. You basically have to rig your rig to make that happen. Because, you know, all of a sudden, the goody two shoes over at, the EPA or the FDA or the, of course, they don't have goody two shoes at any of those places anymore. But when they used to have the goody two shoes that were making all the rules about what you could do with this stuff. I know I'm a rebel.
I picture your neighbors like kind of looking through the peeking through the blinds, trying to make sure that they don't have to call the fire department on you.
Yes, I heard from my neighbors actually in the last couple of days about something.
Your house is on fire, Mr. Khan.
What? Oh my porter house! All right, go to. It's all brought to us by Archidec of Chicagoland. Go to WGNradio.com/contest. We've got the news coming your way with Kim Gordon from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2. It's Seth Rokon Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. We're getting ready for the weekend.
Yes, we are.
And you know what that means, don't you?
Well, it means that we're in March, and we know that this weather isn't going to be here forever. And so you start, and it's going to warm up a little bit, as Tom Skilling tells us. So I'm starting to feel it. The bye-bye winter feeling.
And Mr. Skilling, not available to us today, so we decided to bring you this weather update that a week from, or 2 weeks, I guess, from today, tomorrow, yesterday. When is it? Tony Abrascato's with us. He runs
Tony
the flower show.
Things.
And that's the Flower and Garden Show, and that's what that's basically what I'm just trying to get to here. It's the 20th. It's March 20th.
March 20th. So a week from this coming Wednesday.
Right. Okay. So 2 weeks from for. 2 days ago.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
They're going to show up in June now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm totally confused everybody here. The 2019 Chicago Flower and Garden Show, Flower Tales, The Story Grows On. Oh, look at that. Presented by Festival Halls A and B at Navy Pier. Presented in, I should say, not by. Because that's the worst sponsor ever, the Festival Hall sponsoring the thing. Yeah, at Navy Pier from March 20th through that Sunday. So it's a Wednesday through Sunday show.
Right.
And when this is really every year. This is an amazing thing because it makes you feel like it's right here. And you're closer to spring, too. So
right. And actually, this year, the first day of spring is March 20th. So we're actually on the first day of spring. But yeah, I always say this is kind of like the promise. You know, people come to us, they're like, oh, the flower show comes around and we know there's actually going to be a spring.
Yeah.
You know, this morning it was snowing and then it was 40 degrees and you know, all that crazy stuff.
Even your visit reminds us every year that, okay, it's not so bad
it's
now,
coming.
Right? There's some flowers in our future.
I got to do some replanting myself. Now, when I say I have to, I mean, I'm going to have
people.
To find somebody who's going to have to do that because I don't know what
you got
do.
Guys for that.
Well, I've got 20 landscapers.
I'll bet you do.
That built gardens at the Flower and Garden Show, so you can come and bring in these boys.
So that's what, let's explain how this works, though. You go to Navy, if you've never done this before, and you're like, I don't want to go to a flower show, what the, right? First of all, Tony's one of those guys. Tony's, you know, he's a West Side guy. He's like, and all of a sudden now he runs a flower show. So that just tells you a little something, right?
Yeah,
right?
It does.
Okay. That's A, number one. B, number two, is you go in and it's amazing what you see. It's amazing the ideas that people have for all kinds of things that you can do, whether you got a huge garden, you got a little patch, you got a whatever. And even if you just have, if you live in an apartment,
right,
it makes you feel like summer when you go in there.
Well, and that's our whole point. And so we bring in 20 life-size gardens, and you can get, I was talking to the Uber driver on the way here, and he's like, oh my gosh, I live in Frankfurt, and I've got this huge yard, and I don't know what to do. And I said, you're the perfect candidate for Flower and Garden Show, because we build out these gardens, and so you can get ideas, but also for your, this year, a lot about small space design, container gardening is really popular. I always joke, and I have to change my joke somewhat, but millennials apparently have reinvented the houseplant, and so houseplant sales are up 300% right now, and about 30% of that.
That is so funny.
Really?
You mentioned that.
That's,
she has had a plant. His name is Furman, and he has been with her since college. I think her freshman year of college, and so Furman Jr., Furman the Third, all pieces of Furman. Furman has lasted on,
yep.
Not in its original bulb form, I don't think, but it is. But it's funny because that's become a fixture in her life, and that's a big deal for these.
And that's what's happening. So people are naming their plants.
Yeah,
we have a friend of a friend who has a cactus. You know, the swirl cactus with the arms that are up on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Sparrow,
like a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yeah, and it and she calls it Captain Jazz Hands. is the cactus plant. But so now there's shirts that's I'm a plant daddy. Instead of the, I have like Emma the Westie, I have a Westie, you know, you go on Instagram, people are putting their plants on Instagram and they're naming them. And so they're holding through, and you'll see pop-up houseplant stores. So we actually are doing a lot on houseplants. We have a houseplant garden this year. So people are going to see some different things. And I always tell everyone,
Tony, is it time to bring the fern bar back?
Oh, It could be.
What's the Fern Bar?
Back in the 70s into the 80s, when you went to a bar, they'd be hanging. You didn't go to a tavern anymore. You wanted to go to a bar that would be like a pickup kind of a bar.
Mm-hmm.
That was maybe have a piano bar. There would be ferns hanging from the
inside.
It was a little softer way. It was a way to get available women into a bar as opposed to a saloon or a tavern. That was the idea.
Yeah, right? I always joke about. If you remember the movie Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
and Martin Sheen's going out to look for an apartment, and he's got all this money, and the realtor's like, oh, if you can't afford this one, I got one on the Lower East Side. It's the home of the exposed brick and the house plant. You know?
Right, that was the whole thing for the 70s. Yeah,
that was all it. Yeah. But it's made a resurgence, which we love. And so we're nimble enough that we're bringing in all these different variety of houseplants.
Can people buy stuff from you and walk out with it?
Yeah. Actually, we've got a whole marketplace area. So you can buy plants and you can buy pruners and clippers. And we even got now it's a self-mowing lawnmower.
Like
set it and forget
like
it.
Like a Roomba for your lawn.
I need
it's
that.
A Roomba. Yeah, they always hate when I say that it's a Roomba for your lawn, but it's the Roomba for your
lawn.
I can
say it.
Yeah.
And so hate me, I don't care.
And so we're going to have a display of that, and you can come in and buy all these different things. So I always tell everyone, we're not your grandmother's prize rose on a table. We've got the gardens. We've got koi ponds. We've got all kinds of things going on, outdoor kitchens. And so a lot of times men come in, and they're really surprised. Mm-hmm. But then they can talk to professionals like, when am I – you know, as a guy, we're supposed to know – when to trim the hedges and how to cut the lawn and do all these things. And so they're that's it. It's
no
just
idea.
Expected, you know? And so now they can come in and say, oh, you know, when do I, you know, trim the rose bushes? When do I do this? When do I do that? And so we do a lot of education, culinary demonstrations. And we're the only show in North America that has a kids activity garden. So you can, we encourage kids.
Bring the kiddos.
To come. Yeah. Right.
I need my goals are to have a water feature and then do an herb garden that can last, you know, so that that's an outdoor one. Cause I feel like, you know, it's fun to go out there and have your own fresh herbs and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
In the kitchen.
You know, and one of the things we're talking about right now is there's with the container gardening and things that they're doing herb gardens that are in containers. And so then you can bring them in the house during the winter because they're not going to survive here. So you can bring them in the house
now
and you've got these herb plants. Yeah. They are not perennials. But that's the thing. And people are doing that. And then there's even, grow light systems that you can put on your kitchen counter and have fresh herbs.
Do you have hydroponics? Those are very popular.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a dope section at the flower and garden? Do you got a little something like grow your own?
Don't be surprised in 2020 if you see a little something down there.
You're going to be the most popular festival of the entire city.
And they're going to have like bathtubs and then grow lights.
Right.
Yeah, I like the idea of that.
How to properly grow marijuana in your closet.
Right.
That's right. Legally.
Legally, right.
Legally.
As soon as it's legal, you're good.
Without setting your jeans on fire.
Right.
It's like a whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Hydroponics are big, though, not just for the marijuanas.
You know, hydroponics are huge right now. And a lot of the organics, people are, hey, I want to grow my garden, but I don't want to use a lot of chemicals anymore. And they're coming in and saying, that, you know, we don't like Monsanto and we don't like this and that. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to do it. And so we have a lot on organic gardening as well. So, again, 125 educational classes that you can come in and talk to people about. And we look at it as the shows are evolving. And so they're not as much about the gardens are beautiful and there's beautiful elements to them, but
stunning.
But now we're getting more realistic. So these are things that you can do in your own backyard. And like we're introducing, there's a new hydrangea that's out called Summer Crush from Bailey Nurseries, and they're
what
coming.
Color is it?
It's kind of an orange color, and so you've got two things with the crush, orange crush from when we were kids, and then the love.
I've seen this in stores. It is gorgeous.
Yeah,
it is amazing. It's hydrangeas are my favorite thing. Yeah. Am I supposed to say as a guy? I'm supposed to say that.
But see, that's what all the guys are closeted gardeners because they don't want to admit.
Next year you're gonna actually have a focus on closet gardeners,
right?
Gah!
I actually have buddies who you would never think are really into it. And you go into their house, and it's like just a million plants overtaking their home.
Because
they're really
of the air quality? Like, what are they into?
They just love it. I don't know. He can tell me every sort of different kind of plant that I should get and the benefits of it.
My hydrangea is the thing. You know, I get like 3 weeks out of it, right? At the, you know, at the end of summer. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it just pops.
Yeah, you've got the wrong hydrangeas.
I know. But I love it though, and I wait for it all. You know, it's gorgeous. Actually, I think I get it twice. I get it once, and then in the beginning, and then once at the end of the summer. And the color is just amazing. Oh, yeah. It's just fun to watch. And now that they made this into this whole thing, right? It's
right. Like, and the other thing, you know, you can change the acidity in the soil. It'll change the color of the hydrangea. And so, and I shouldn't say you have the wrong hydrangea. You have to have a
There's
different
no
type
wrong. But why do you want to make my hydrangea feel bad, Tony?
But you know what you need is, and again, if you want, get ready to ring the bell. Our partner, Bailey Nurseries, has endless summer hydrangeas, and so they bloom all summer long. And that's who created this orange hydrangea, and we'll have it. And it's actually the first time that it's going to be seen. It was debuted at the show last July that was the industry show, and now it's coming out on the market this spring. And so, yeah, it's amazing. Swing by afterward.
What's a good beginner plant if someone wanted to get into it?
Fern.
A fern?
Fern in a macrame
jade.
Pot.
What about jade? I thought those are easy to take care of.
Jade plants are good. The other one...
You know what I do with a jade plant? I start squeezing it, though. Because it's
smushy.
Oh,
yeah, they're kind of squishy.
Yeah, and I get, you know, like, if you're the kind of person that wants to pop those bubble wrap things,
don't
get a jade plant.
Don't.
Or get the aloe vera. Get the aloe vera. But, you know, I find peace lilies are really easy. I always joke when at home when mine start to droop, then I just drown them with water and they all perk back up. And then when they droop again, I always call it occasional drownings because that's how most people, you know, water things when it starts. And so they're really strong. And so there's
it's a nice looking plant.
Yeah, these pothos, and then they get the white flower that comes in. And so those are really great. And what you'll find is that, and I think you mentioned the air quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so air quality is big. And so the plants are purifying the air inside the apartments. And some of them grow, like the peace lilies I have, they virtually have no light at all. It's in my second bedroom. The shade's always drawn. There's no light. But the broader the leaf, the more oxygen it purifies. And so at times, if you look at the leaf of your plant and you see it's all dusty and everything, and it may not be the exact technical term, but that's because it's kind of recycling the air and sucking it in. And so you wipe those off with a sponge from time to time. And that's what the younger people and the kids are doing. They're creating these. And I was out one night, and I was commenting to one of our sponsors about the houseplant. And I was like, oh, you know, they're up 300%. And he's like, seriously? You've got, you know, really, you know, millennials are buying houseplants? And I said, absolutely. And the two guys, we were at a bar, and the two stools down, the guy
really shocked me.
Shocker. Two guys down, and the guy's, oh, I don't mean to listen in, you know, but it's impossible not to. And he's like, I don't mean to listen in.
You mean at Gene and Giorgetti's?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Calling
so,
it out.
And so we had, and he's like, I just bought four houseplants yesterday. And I said, how old are you? And he said, 25. And it was a guy. It wasn't a girl. Uh-huh. It was a guy. It was 25. Bought four houseplants. And so they're starting. And so, but those, what you look at when you Google it, and you'll see like Easy Care house plants or starter house plants, and that's some of the things we'll have at the show. But they virtually, I had one. They call it the mother-in-law's tongue. It was it's kind of tall and spiky and pointy at the end. And I used to keep it in my bathroom. There was no sunlight at all. The humidity from the shower gave it enough moisture, and I had it in there for 4 or 5 years without ever touching it. And it's just good. And so those are the types of things.
Nature's
we do.
Air purifiers, right?
Exactly.
Sure.
It's actually better than, you know, most purifiers, especially in a smaller office space and things like that. So it's not only at home, but you can bring them in the office.
We need a show plant, bro. I just decided.
Yeah, I'll be sending
something.
Well,
we had those chia pets. Yeah, would you do that?
Because I can make that happen.
We could put that either in the studio here, we could put it in our office. I'd like to see it in the studio here, although my sense is that someone will kill it on the weekends or try to eat it or smoke it or something.
I got a nice silk one for you.
All right, hold on. Let me, because we're out of time, and I want to get all this business in here. It is Flower Tales, The Story Grows On, presented in Festival Halls A and B at Navy Pier, March 20th through March 24th. It is the 2019 Chicago Flower and Garden Show. And it is brought to you by, I got to get this in, because this is, they're paying for the party here. Let's see here. I don't understand it. Subaru, Wintrust.
NPL.
NPL.
Xfinity.
People's Gas,
State Farm,
Nicor, Ball Horticultural Company, yep. Julie One Call.
Right, so that's the call before you dig, 811 People, okay. And 811 Chicago. So great partners of ours.
Lowe's, Panzer Nursery.
Well, you got them all. They Unilock, gave you a list, man. Huh?
And Central Sod Farms. You know, they stole my idea of, you know, that was my name. I was going to be Central Sod Farms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I was going to name the company that. And then I didn't sell sod or anything. I just like the idea of it.
It's kind of a nice name.
For a complete listing, go to chicagoflower.com. And all the information's at chicagoflower.com.
Absolutely.
All
absolutely.
Right. Tony Abruscato, who is, he's Flowers. That's literally what his nickname is over by the bar that I've never sat at. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Never sat at that bar ever with a bunch of guys from the West Side. I don't know what goes on.
Hey, yo.
How you doing?
We don't talk about
it. How you doing? Yeah. And I know it's kind of, it's so funny to think, and they all call, you know, everybody gets a nickname, and they all call him Flowers because uh-huh. Hey, there's a Flowers guy.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, is Flowers coming? I found out one day, they're like, everyone wants to know if Flowers is coming. I'm like, who's that? They're like, you. They call you Flowers.
Did you know?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Flowers.
Thank nice you to both. See you. All right, let's check in now. Find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Roe Empire actor Jussie Smollett has new legal woes.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's pretty much what you guys are always craving, what we're all craving, pizza. It's an all-new Chicago's Best Pizza, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Kim Gordon's got the WGN News being brought to you by Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic. Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. John Fritchie, our political analyst, stepped into the studio mm-hmm. with us. And today, big move in the mayor's race. Big move. Willie Wilson, who was here sitting in your very seat that you're sitting in right now. John, I'm selling seats. I'm selling everybody can sit in that for $50 because Willie was there.
Will he pay for mine then?
He's got the golden touch. He today endorsed Lori Lightfoot, although he did it on the show yesterday, but then said, "But I
really did."
But I can't tell you I'm doing that. So, but he did, and what was really interesting, I was out with a bunch of politicos last night, and the amount of respect I think that, and these are old line political guys, mm-hmm. the amount of respect that Willie Wilson garnered in this process this time around, not so much the first time, but this time around, as a guy who. And again, I think he'd be the first one to tell you that he's got a very unique way of expressing himself, but he's a super smart and super wise about human behavior and about the politics of this. And he also gets it because he was a big, you know, multimillionaire businessman, and he knows the shakedowns, and he knows what you got to do to get business done in this town, so he understands.
You know, he's not a babe in the woods, but he really does have a good heart. Yeah. And if anybody didn't know where that endorsement was going to come out today, you know, it was telegraphed during the debate last night when you saw Lori Lightfoot kind of singing the praises of Dr. Wilson, and Tony Preckwinkle was already kind of tamping it down and saying that it wasn't worth that much.
He's not really a doctor, you know.
And that made it pretty clear. But it's going to make a difference. A lot of times, especially in a mayoral race, endorsements may not matter that much as far as delivering voters and transferring voters.
Okay, but don't you think delivering voters and transferring voters, that Willie's endorsement does that probably more kinetically than all the others?
Yes. Willie has a lot of people that he can relate to, that can relate to him. They are going to trust him. When you see, I would say, older folks in the African-American community, in the church community, yep. There is a certain level of trust. They say, we can identify with him.
You know what's fascinating? That podcast is up, I'm assuming, right, at WGNradio.com?
With Willie Wilson, our discussion with him?
I'm looking in there, but they're not paying any attention to what I'm saying to them. Everyone's fired in that room. That if you go to the website, you'll hear he talks about this fascinating. And again, because he's so plain spoken, he doesn't care. And also because he's got enough money, he doesn't care anymore. He's going to just tell you what he really thinks.
He does speak the truth.
Very liberating. And he said, listen, there's a problem in the black community, and especially older church-going black communities, as you're pointing to here, John, that they're super conservative socially, that they see the gay lifestyle as a sin, that the intimacy part as a sin, and that he and that, that's going to be looked upon negatively in the community, and it's going to be a little harder for Lori Lightfoot to to gain traction because they're going to see her as a sinner. And he has said, even he's as church going guy as you're ever going to find. He's like, this is really not about the sin. You can love the sinner and hate the sin.
That's right. And, you know, it was interesting. It was a very passive-aggressive shot that Tony took at Lori last night when they said, you know, what is it that you admire about Lori Lightfoot? And she came around and said, well, you know, her openness about being a lesbian. And, you know, I don't think that was an unintentional comment by Tony Preston.
Just to let everybody know, in case anybody was wondering.
Anybody might want to use it against her, listening.
That's just it. And I really think that that may have backfired on her with a lot of folks in the progressive community on the north side, unless she's starting to write some of them off already. Because that really is an incendiary comment, if you think about
it. She needs the North Side. Tony Preckwinkle needs it.
During the primary. It was the Lori Lightfoots, really. The North Side wards.
Tony Preckwinkle is in a very, very tricky position. She needs to bring Lori's numbers down. You know, even if these polling numbers aren't fully correct and it's not 30%, let's say it's a 20% lead, she needs to bring Lori's numbers down. In order to do that, she has to go negative. But by going negative, it reinforces kind of the boss machine stereotype that a lot of people have of Tony Preckwinkle.
So today, Lori Lightfoot puts out a negative ad, campaign ad about Tony Preckwinkle. Is it too soon? Is it the right time?
No, I think right now, you know, you want to start to burn this message in. Make sure that people know who she is. Don't give her a chance to start to make some headway. For Tony to make some headway.
Right.
And, you know, I think that the race will tighten up inevitably as it does. And I think as you get closer to Election Day, it'll tighten up more because Tony Preckwinkle will have access to probably a better ground game in a lot of the South South Side wards and West Side wards, and coupled with some of those other races, probably Melissa Irvin and the treasurer's race.
Mm-hmm.
But she needs to really pick and choose, and these avenues are getting shut down to her. You know, CFL, the Chicago Federation of Labor, staying neutral on this thing and letting their member unions. It does surprise me, although people kind of think of labor as monolithic, and you really have the service trades, and then you have kind of the building trades. The service trades have been the stalwart supporters of Tony Preckwinkle.
SEIU.
SEIU, AFSCME, CTU. Mm-hmm.
Are also a lot of public government employees, too, right?
That's right.
All three of those unions represent people who work in the public sector.
Yeah.
That's right. And I would say that they are probably they hold some of the largest contracts with the public sector,
right,
as opposed to any private vendor, even. But, you know, a number of the building trades, they went with either Mendoza, someone with Chico, as it may be. So, you know, picking up the firefighters was big for Lori Lightfoot because that will help her on the northwest and southwest sides.
Please.
It's a fine question. I don't know that either one of them can clearly claim the mantle of being the better friend to the police.
Right. I think that's going to be the problem, right? Because you had Lori Lightfoot was, you know, she was on the
police board, and before that OPS, which had different names and various iterations.
Right.
But she's been part of it for years.
And you had Tony saying, "I was the one that made sure that Jason Van Dyke went to jail." Right, I mean, she's wearing that mantle. So,
well, but she also got that one taken away a little bit by the investigator who did the legwork on that, saying, "Wait a second,
you can't claim that."
Neither one of them are taking credit for that. I'm taking credit, and not in a bad way. He did the legwork. He got all this stuff put together.
Right.
Yeah, but there's 12,000 members of the Chicago Police Department. There's another 20-something thousand retirees, and every one of those people have family, right? So you're talking about a voting block well in excess of 50,000 people in Chicago.
And they tend to vote. Right?
And they do tend to vote, and they will move in a pretty consistent manner,
right,
in their vote.
You know, they want to make sure that their voices and force are heard as a monolithic block.
Right.
So they want to, you know, if you have the firefighters' endorsement, firefighters want to show that that means something.
Same right. Thing, same That's thing, a big deal.
Same thing with the police. And what they're both going to have to be careful to do is say, look, we want police reform, but do it without demonizing police.
Right.
Say, look, we want to support the good ones. We want to go after the bad ones. And it's kind of a fine line to walk.
You know, the history-making piece of this seems to get lost because it's there's so much excitement around there being no incumbent, and this is an exciting election with so many candidates in the primary. But you have two women, both black, both progressives. This is those sort of factors aren't really what you're deciding between here. So what does it come down to when it comes to what you think most voters will be looking to differentiate here?
Well, it's an interesting test because I don't think the litmus test is going to be who's more progressive. There is not a lot of daylight between them on the various issues. It's going to be a theme of change or, you know, maintaining the status quo, with Lori saying, I'm the one that can shake things up. I am the agent of change. You know, my opponent's been in elected office for 30 years, et cetera. And listen, the reality is there's going to be a likability component to this.
I had a politician a guy who works in politics say this to me about Tony in the last week. Is that she runs what is the county budget, $9 billion?
We're about $5.5 billion.
Is it in the black currently?
Well, that's interesting.
See, as you're a former county commissioner,
you would
know. It's an interesting question. The short answer is that we passed an ostensibly balanced budget last year before I left.
But is it like the state budget that's balanced, quote, in air quotes?
But that being said, the executive summary put together by the president's own administration is showing a $250 million deficit by the time the president's term is expected to end in 2022.
And I think they're going to run on this, though, that she's got one of the only governments in Illinois, you know, major governments in Illinois that is in the black right now.
Well, to her credit and to the board's credit, the county hasn't raised its property tax levy in 20 years. We've shored up the pension systems, so it's a much better county than we found. But you know, you can massage numbers, and the county's budget is a little precarious. And you know, she came in, there was about $500 million budget deficit. We've raised, she pushed almost $750 million in taxes and is still scheduled to leave with almost $250 million deficit. And I think that the voters are going to remember, you know, the tax issue. It's one thing to say, you know, Lori Lightfoot was, you know, a fat cat rich lawyer, this and this. Well, you know, you can kind of make that stick to her, maybe. That's not what people are looking at. It's very different than saying Tony Preckwinkle pushed the sales tax, the soda tax, whatever it may be.
Right.
But it's really...
I think what they're going to say, though, is I think they're going to need something here. Because don't you think, as political director of the Rope Contra with Anna DeVlantis, John Fritchie, don't you think...
Unpaid position.
Yes.
You're telling me.
We're very demanding.
Wait, no, hold on. I don't know. Anyway.
I need the cash register one.
That's not it either. Anyway, the point is this. Don't you think that... If you have to get a handhold somewhere here on this mountain, isn't that for Tony Preckwinkle probably her best at this moment to say, hey, listen, I run a big government and we're doing just fine?
That's where she can make lemons out of lemonade and say, look, this is about making tough decisions, even if they're unpopular. You know, I didn't want to raise the soda tax. I knew it was going to be unpopular, but I thought we needed to do it. The next mayor of the city of Chicago is going to have to make very difficult decisions along with the city council. One thing that I will be surprised by is if the next mayor isn't a one-term mayor. Because if they do what's going to need to be done to help get the budget back on its feet, they're going to be very unpopular.
Some unpopular decisions there.
You know who's a better communicator of that, though, I think, at the end of the day, in terms of somebody, because she is new. If Lori Lightfoot wins, I think she'll have an easier time because you get a little bit of a honeymoon by being the new person, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you also get this because she's a lawyer and she's, you know, worked on very complicated corporate restructurings and things like that. And she'll be able to use some of the language that's going to keep the business community feeling understood in this process. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives her a bit of an advantage as opposed to somebody who's like, the problem that you have in all of this is that in Chicago, politics is really very much about money. And these people, when they're not, I mean, you know, you were in this for a long time. When you're not sitting, you know, and, you know, doing your mayor job, you're out raising money. And, you know, how does that come into conflict in what is really kind of a small pond here?
Well, that's right. I don't think it's a matter really of getting the business community all warm and fuzzy. Right now, they just need to feel that they have a safe harbor someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that their voices will be heard.
And so when they see, you know, when they see the taxation record at the county, et cetera, or what's happened to the city in the past, that may make them wary. You know, you don't know what's going to happen.
On top of what the state's about to do to him. Well, now, can I ask you about that? Because I know, as a political director, let me take you on the other side of this to do this, because they're telling me I have to. The people that I just fired in the control room are telling me I have to take a break. Let's do that first, and then we'll come back. I want to know what your thoughts are on that, because is that even possible? You're a former state legislator, too, which is why you're the political director, because you've had all these jobs. The only thing he hasn't been is president of the United States, and trust me, that's never going to happen. Kim, what's happening at the top of the hour?
Illinois State Police being sued over the Aurora shooting.
Great happy hour there.
Ah,
the best.
Great cocktail. Best Manhattan in the city.
I mean, the chill environment,
great
too.
Great spot.
Coming up, stories of matter in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon, about 5 minutes away. Let's talk to John Fritchie, political director of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, and we were talking about the mayor's race. Now let's move over to the budget by the governor. He wants to raise taxes up to close to 8% on everything over $250,000, and if you're a millionaire, you get hit with the full 8%, essentially, because you don't get the marginalization of the first $250,000. Now, I just said that for people who are paying attention, but for the rest of us, we go, wait, our taxes are going to, what, are they going to double? What is that? That's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Well, it all depends, you know, how you, again, what side of the issue you're on. What Governor Pritzker is saying is that, you know, well over, I think, 95% of Illinoisans will see a tax reduction of some form. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, even if you're getting $200 back, you say, hey, you know, I'm getting $200 back. It's not going up. And there's a lot more people that are making under $100,000 in this state than who are making $500,000 or a million in this state.
Okay, that, of course. And family, you know, we're talking about family income here, too, the, you know, household income. But does it present a problem for the people who, the business people, the millionaires and billionaires who may decide, well, I got to domicile somewhere else. Even if I keep an apartment here, I'm going to move to Florida or Texas or some low tax state because this is killing me. Between the new federal taxes where you can't write off your state taxes and your state taxes are going through the roof. What are you going to do?
Well, here, you got to separate what's affecting, you know, wealthy people as opposed to what's affecting big businesses in Illinois. And so I don't think there's anything in that should rattle the business community. And I think that if Governor
Pritzker, executives won't want to stay here.
Their executives won't want to stay. They'll fly back and forth, however that may be. But the key, though, is to keep the companies here, keep the jobs here.
But why would the companies stay?
Because if there's no inherent change on the companies, you've got to keep something in mind. Chicago is a great place to be located as a business. You have a very talented and diverse workforce. You know, as a global city, we're very easy for people to get to from around the world. And so, you know, those are built-in factors we have that we're not going to lose.
All right. Okay. All right. There he said it. I don't know if I agree with it completely, but that's what our political director just told us.
Well, we got to listen to him.
Yes.
John Fritchie knows his stuff.
That's why we don't pay him. All right.
it's worth the price.
Always good to feel the love.
Kim Gordon is standing by. She's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, as I just mentioned, on WGN and 2. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you very much.
To you and Richard Roper both.
Thank you.
I know you're celebrating.
Thanks, Anna. Same to you.
I'm sitting here too, Anna.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes.
Big day for me.
Overlooked Kevin.
I think it's a great thing, but I will say this. I was told earlier today that the thing to do is wear the purple, and now it's like the Blackhawks, and you know, the it's more like the Oregon football team. Actually, we have to have different colors to wear every weekend, which I'm happy to do. But can people just let me know?
You got
to
keep track. It's hard.
What color this week? You know, we're recognizing that thing. So I got pink spikes. I got a purple blouse.
Interesting.
But anything I can do to help out, I'm happy to do it. But sometimes it gets a little. Sometimes I don't know what the skyline, what the buildings
that's
are
what
lit
I'm
up
always
for.
That's
right?
Like, why is it green this
we
week?
We gotta figure
why
that out.
Why is it purple?
There's
this week?
There's gotta be a site where you just go and you learn what it is. Because my daughter asks me that all the time. She's like, "Well, what?" Why?
I always guess. I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's
just make it up."
So and so awareness week.
Acne awareness week. It's a big one.
Wait, why are we supposed to be wearing purple?
For International Women's Day.
So the color is purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do I not know that?
Well, you're wearing all purple today. I thought that was the reason you were doing it.
I thought it was Northwestern.
Your cats.
International Foreign Exchange Students Who Went to Northwestern Day.
I just want to say this.
They spent a lot of money.
Everybody's being very respectful, and it's almost like you just want to say Happy International Women's Day, and if you do anything that's at least a bit snarky around it, you're going to get
go.
You're going to get some bad
stuff. Yeah, Kev.
You understand what I'm saying?
He's been very respectful.
Of course.
We have, and this is just a coincidence, but I'm going to take credit for it. We have coming up a band that is all women.
Yep.
That is the hardest rocking band you will ever hear. They are so great. Chicago's very own, the Priscillas.
I just talked to them. They are just incredible women to talk to. Yeah. One of them is a police officer, has a day job, and I mean, they just had this band, and there's so much success, and people are loving them, and cool. I'm excited to hear them.
Yeah, they're amazing. Amazing. All right. You know, it's time for...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
El Presidente heading to Alabama to survey the damage in Lee County after two deadly tornadoes struck there. I believe he'll be moving on to Mar-a-Lago after that, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's the plan.
Has an interesting twist to it today, by
the
way.
News.
I might add. Okay. Oh, boy, is right.
Jeez.
But he is, Mr. Trump addressed the sentencing of Paul Manafort.
I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. I think it's been a very, very tough time for him. But if you notice, both his lawyer, a highly respected man, and a very highly respected judge, the judge, said there was no collusion with Russia. This had nothing to do with collusion. There was no collusion. It's a collusion hoax. It's a collusion witch hoax. I don't collude with Russia.
There's a little problem with that.
What's that?
There's a slight problem with that. That is not what the judge said. The judge said we are sentencing on a different case than the collusion case. This was a tax fraud case. Tax fraud case in which he did not pay taxes on millions of dollars that he took from Russian-backed Ukrainian interests as they were invading Crimea. Not exactly God's work. And so... The judge did not say there's no collusion. The judge said this is a separate case. That's a different district, and that's a different case. We'll have to wait on whether Mueller's indictments go beyond that. Because remember, that case got sort of backed up and around.
Mm-hmm.
This is the case that he beat some of the case and not the rest of the case. Gotcha. And that sentencing, you know, everybody was sort of taken aback by 47 months. But in a case like this, is kind of what happens. There were a lot of people saying 6 years. Which is what and so this judge went a little bit lighter than 6 years.
Got it.
Yep.
And then he went on to say this.
His lawyer went out of his way, actually, to make a statement last night. No collusion with Russia. There was absolutely none. The judge, I mean, for whatever reason, I was very honored by it, also made the statement that this had nothing to do with collusion with Russia. So, you know, keep it going. Let's go. Keep the hoax going. Just a hoax. Senator Burr said there's no collusion. You look at Devin Nunes and the House Intelligence Committee. They said there's no collusion. And guess what? There is none.
Okay. Again, it's not what any of those people said, except for Devin Nunes. Of course, he said that.
Right. Mueller report could come out at any point now.
Yes.
And for those of you wondering about that background noise, again, those are the hamsters and the little wheel inside the president's brain, keeping it going by moving their little feeties.
Oh, please.
I like the way he says that word.
Collusion.
I have a collusion on the rocks.
Hoax. Collusion hoax. It's not a hoax. Hey,
I think he said witch hoax at one point.
I want to say, though, and, you know, we kind of predicted this on this program. That a picture now has surfaced.
Oh no!
Of the woman who owns the Orchids of Asia.
Oh gosh!
Mm-hmm. The day spa.
Day spa.
In air quotes.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is in Jupiter, Florida.
Yang is her name. She's 45 years old and seems to have hung out with the president a bit.
And the whole there's pictures of her with the sons. Yeah. A lot of selfies.
She's the founder of the, I think it's called Tokyo Day Spas or something like that. That tells you a little something right there, right?
Kind of like Kylie Jenner, self-made billionaire. Eh?
So she was sitting behind the president during the Mar-a-Lago Super Bowl party.
Oh, good ticket.
Oh my God,
you can't make that stuff up.
It's fantastic.
And there's a picture that she takes.
The founder of the massage parlor.
Right.
Frequent Mar-a-Lago party goer hung out and watched Super Bowl with president.
Right there.
This is with him. Robert Kraft's person.
Right. And now this was not Ming Fu Hulu, who is, of course, you know, chief masseuse and bottle washer.
She was arrested, too. So
this is the owner of the.
This is the owner. This is the founder.
The founder.
I believe she
bigger
sold,
than the owner. Founder.
Founder. I think she sold off each store individually.
Okay.
And I think Ming Fu Hulu owns the owns the store.
Yeah, she claims that she's out of the business now.
Out of the
business.
Of course
she is. Right.
Not, not in the business human trafficking.
You mean that after the whole place gets raided, you go, I'm out of the business.
Imagine that viewing party. Li Yang, have you seen the omelet station? Get ketchup.
Can you believe these Patriots? I mean, seriously, ever since I've been president, they have not lost a Super Bowl. Can you believe them? By the way, how's Ming Fing Hulu?
Oh, no.
Wow.
Is she okay? Did she get over that sprained wrist?
Oh, God.
Number four.
Tony Prankwing and Lori Lightfoot met last night, and it was about an eight-round battle.
Jeez.
Two candidates for Chicago mayor advanced to the April runoff. Hard hitting. Carol Marine, right? Mm-hmm. Do not let Carol Marine loose on situations like this if you don't want to see blood splattered on the wall.
You take it seriously.
Miss Preckwinkle, what song makes you want to get up and dance?
A change gonna come.
Ms. Lightfoot, what song makes you sing out loud in the car?
Just One Victory by Todd Rundgren.
Oh, symbolic.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Oh.
I believe there's clear evidence they were fed the questions in advance.
Yeah.
An operative.
I like when they argued who grew up poor. Lori Lightfoot's like, I grew up from a rough background. I was poor too. I was definitely poor.
We were food insecure. We were poor. Yeah, they both legitimately
have
risen up and become very successful from humble roots.
I was poor. I swear.
Oh, boy. Wait, there's more.
What do you do to relax?
I'm a sports nut, so I've got, like, every sports act, Bleacher Report, ESPN. I pay close attention. My White Sox are queuing up, so I'm excited about that. And I'm looking forward to a new bear season as well.
Ms. Preckwinkle, what do you do to relax?
You know, I'm a history teacher by profession, and I love reading biography, so I do that. And as a history teacher, I love antique shows and antique fairs. You know, I love old stuff.
Oh, my God.
God, it was a pilot for Glee.
Well, what do you guys
do?
You're
the gym teacher who loves sports.
I'm with Lori Lightfoot on the whole thing, especially since you mentioned the White Sox, which are heard here on 720 WGN.
I think that deserves a bell ring.
Yeah.
Looking forward to perhaps Mayor-elect Lightfoot throwing out the first pitch. Who knows? Well, they're both White Sox fans, actually.
Okay.
So we're reclaiming it from Rom. He's a classic Cubs fan. I don't really go to a lot of games. Once in a while, I go to
games. To games.
Throw a knuckleball.
Because you got to go make sure that the project is going well over there.
Is Tunney here? Where's Tunney?
Stay away from him.
But is there one more? All right, hold on.
Ms. Lightfoot, when you ride a bike, do you wear a helmet, obey stop signs and traffic lights?
Yes, I do.
Just follow the law. And, Ms. Preckwinkle, since you don't do that, do you think that there still should be greater enforcement of traffic laws for bikers who don't sometimes stop at stop signs?
What's happening?
Well, it's incredibly dangerous to ride without a helmet. And many of our bike riders don't pay any attention to the traffic laws, which is not only infuriating, but scary for drivers.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Now, Ms. Preckwinkle, when you ride your broom, do you actually stop at the red? No. Is it, no, what? All right. I don't know.
Did she state before that she doesn't ride a bicycle? Is that
must
why?
Have. I don't know. We're just picking this up in mid-farm here. And there. All right.
Kind of Barbara Walters-esque questions.
Yeah, and there's one more. There was a lot of hard-hitting stuff, but we're just playing this. Mm-hmm.
Do either of you double park, or if you have a driver, allow the person who's driving you to double park, Ms. Preckwinkle?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, no.
Take that as a confession, Ms. Lightfoot.
Well, I try not to double park. I mean, obviously, sometimes when there's no parking, you're running into a store. Yeah, that's happened, but I try not to because, frankly, I don't want to get a ticket.
Actually, Ms. Preckwinkle, I actually don't because my driver is actually dropping off campaign literature in other wards. So I don't. So he comes back and picks me back up.
I mean, did they ask about dibs too?
not last night. I don't believe. All right, you know what? Listen, thank God. Now I know the answer. But I'll tell you that Lori Lightfoot. That's okay. She got Bleacher Report up.
Jeez.
Yeah. I wonder how she feels.
Deep dive.
I wonder how she feels about the new Ohio State quarterback. I don't know how you feel about that. Should the NCAA have let that kid skip the off year? He goes right to play from team to team. Is that okay? I think it's okay. Thank you. If you say it's okay, I'll vote for you. All right. We'll get to your 3-2-1. But first, let's find out from Kim what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
We'll bring you the latest on new charges against actor Jesse Smollett.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Top 5 continues right here on The Rob Con Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Number 3.
Heidi Montag. Gave a very Heidi Montag answer to a question involving representation on her former hit reality series, The Hills.
Oh, boy.
And its upcoming reboot, The Hills, New Beginnings. Vogue magazine published an article and video with the cast of the show, which will premiere this summer. Stars Montag, actress Misha Barton, Audrina Partridge.
Partridge.
Mm-hmm. That's what I meant. Whitney Port and Stephanie Pratt. Much like The Hills, all the stars of The Hills, New Beginnings. I'm reading this like 20th Century Fox wrote it. I don't know why. They are all white, non-disabled, and heterosexual.
True.
So, obviously, you can't have a show like that on television anymore, can you, Heidi Montag?
Do you wish that there was a little more diversity represented?
We don't all look the same. I mean, Audrina has darker hair. I feel has darker hair.
Stop. You can't.
But yeah, we're California girls, and it's a group of friends, and that just happens to be the group that came together. But you know, that's just the way the show was. I have other very diverse friends that are featured on the show.
Did she get any media training in advance of this promotional tour?
We're all California girls, and quite honestly, those other people you're talking about make us sad.
As much as I hate that this is like coming around, they're in my wheelhouse. Like, I'm that age. They were my people a decade ago, and I know I'm going to watch it.
And you don't watch it for the cultural appropriateness and the diverse viewpoints. I mean, the fact that she didn't recognize.
Well, you know, listen, it's hard to defend her, but what are they going to do? Photoshop their black friend from 10 years ago or 15 years ago?
Or like friends, have somebody stop by? Like, hey, what's friends up?
That could be an episode of Search for Diversity.
Remember, friends had to shoehorn our very dear friend into the cast?
Aisha,
Aisha Tyler.
I love her.
Yeah.
She had to like just show up and date somebody, right?
It was the most difficult acting challenge of her career. We were supposed to believe that she was into Ross.
Right. And Joey. And the funny thing is
I can't decide which one, the idiot or the nerd.
Yeah, because
that's Aisha.
Super attractive, very talented woman.
But, you know, listen, they got dark hairs. And also, again, in her defense, out of the 57 million people in California, they're all white. We all know that. There's no diversity. You know, they're all California girls.
Here's the problem. Nobody wants diversity on television. Everybody chooses. When people sit down in their homes or whatever it is, they choose things that, with the exception of sports, they choose what they want to see and news, right? People now are choosing their own flavor in that and all of that. I mean, it's a funny thing, and it takes like this whole kind of moment in history to have this young woman who's writing for is it the Vogue reporter that asked that question?
I think so. Yeah, it was
right, because Vogue is so diverse, right? Because there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who are food insecure, who are buying blush for $150.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Please.
But their hair colors are different.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the worst. I know someone with dark hair.
That was the weirdest.
That was tough one there for writing.
Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number 2. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
Gotta love Nickelback.
And what the hell is on Joey's head?
Debates are the lifeblood of Congress. But yesterday, a Democrat and Republican took to the discussion in the House to another level. They argued about the ban Nickelback. Mark Pocan of Wisconsin was debating how U.S. prisoners are counted in the census. Then he talked about a related provision that hadn't been received well by the public.
Everyone else wanted to change this out of 77,000. That's probably about the percent of people who think Nickelback is their favorite band in this country. It's pretty low. And I think if you look at Nickelback's your favorite band, I apologize to the gentleman.
Why would you criticize one of the greatest bands of the 90s?
During his rebuttal, Congressman Rodney Davis from right here in Illinois said,
that my colleague from Wisconsin, I know he did not mean to offend the many, many thousands upon thousands of Nickelback fans in his district in Wisconsin. I'll stand here to save you from doing that and have to face the political consequences at the ballot box. I enjoy getting debating back and forth, and it's always good to have some good humor on the floor of the House. And yes, I actually do have a Nickelback song on my running playlist that I listen to on a regular basis.
There was more diversity in the Heidi Montag conversation than that.
I can't get through this without crying.
He's a DJ.
What in the hell is on Joey's head?
AOC's texting all her friends. What are they talking about right now?
Who's Nickelback?
Is this code? This must be some sort of code.
Nickelback must be some sort of white supremacist band.
God, poor Nickelback. Somewhere Stained is always happy about Nickelback. I couldn't cut it as a poor man
stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. Please, it's bad enough he has to sing it.
This is painful.
All right.
And yet we all know the songs, don't we?
Yeah, we do. That's
I'm with Rodney.
Yeah, show me. We have become the United States of ridiculous, is what we have become.
Fox News ran a poll that 87% of people really do like Nickelback. 13% said
Fox News viewers.
Those were 84%
of
them thought the question was, would you like a Nickelback from your Social Security?
No, it's and to CNN, they're like, who? Or MSNBC would be more
MSNBC would be like, yeah. I think the Indigo Girls would have something to say about this.
Another wedge issue.
Look at this photograph.
Not a Nickelback fan.
Here we go, and finally.
Number one.
I've seen those tricks before.
Marshall Brodeen, who played Wizzo the Wizard on The Bozo Show for 26 years, has died. Born and raised right here in Chicago, drawn to magic at the age of 8 when he was entranced by a magician's performance at his school. At 14, he took to a job selling and demonstrating magic tricks and novelties at a magic center in downtown Chicago, in the Loop. Brodeen wasn't solely a children's show cast member. However, Brodeen performed magic and stage hypnosis for years at lounges, clubs, county fairs, parties, trade shows, and sold the Marshall Brodeen magic cards on television, which everybody had to have.
And then
those ads were everywhere. Right?
And then you found out that every other card was the Ace of Hearts.
Oh, now you tell me.
Now, yeah, I know. So back in 2007, Bill Leff and I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to him. And he talked about one gig in particular where he got invited to perform in front of members of the Chicago Outfit.
Oh, well, I worked in, when I was 19 years old, I worked in Cicero when Cicero was wide open, gambling, you name it. And I worked in a place called the Magic Lounge. I went out there one time to see a magician, and I started to do some magic, so they hired me. And across the street was, you know, all the mob guys, Sam Giancana and Yupa and all those guys that ran the town. And one night, the second night I'm there, I'm behind the bar doing tricks, and George, the guy that runs it, says, hey, Marsh, there's three guys in the end of the bar. Go show them a trick. So I walked down there with this bird cage, and I said to the guy in the middle, tap the bird cage three times, a bird appears. So he goes, boom, boom, boom. Hey, I don't see no bird. Tony, you see a bird? No, we don't see a bird. What's this bird? And I said, well, here, hold the cage. And it disappears. He says, where did that friggin' cage go? hey, Tony, you know where it is? What are you asking me? Ask him. So he looks me straight in the eye, and he says, where is that friggin' cage? I says, it's magic. He pulls out a gun.
Oh.
I mean, a big gun. Ooh. Hits my forehead, clicks it back, and says, where is that friggin' cage?
Yeah.
That cage came back out of my coat faster than it disappeared.
That's a great story.
What a story.
Wow. And then he also told us this. This is amazing. About the day that the management had to come to him and tell him that Wizzo was dead.
Mm.
The organized crime ran the nightclubs here. So.
I can give you my last story, which is good. I worked there for 3 years. I worked there 2 years for, or 1 year for George, and then 2 years for Rose. One Saturday night, place is packed, everyone leaves. Two guys walk in, they say, you're a magician, right? And I says, yeah, you're not working here no more. I said, what did I do wrong? Nothing. We're changing it into a strip joint overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So I pack up all your stuff, and I left. The next night, a friend of mine's taking a girl out for the first time to come in and see me at a place called the Magic Lounge. He walks and he sits down in the bar, and all of a sudden, bum, 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 bum. Girl comes out taking off her clothes. She slaps him in the face. You took me to see a stripper. You told me I was going to see a magician. He's, I'm telling you the truth. Marcia was here last night.
Wow, top of reveal's a wonderful storyteller.
The great Marshall Brodeen was 84.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news brought to you by Chocolate Wine and Spirits Expo.com.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Can't drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man. Me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I said, what's your name? Sir, my name is Raisin. I said, Raisin like the fruit? Darling? Darling, is the wind blowing today? I'd like to watch television, darling. The Attorney General says I'm going to recuse myself. And I'm in the White House and I was lonely. I said, let's go to Iraq.
See, alcohol can do things to you.
Yes.
That is why we enjoy it. That's exactly the point. Sure. Carnarvon Wagon is rolling and there's rum in the house.
Yeah.
Now, I find this to be very interesting because the rum has become it's the hot new thing now, the rum. It's, mm-hmm. you know, we've gone through moments, you know, the vodka became very hot for a while.
Sure.
Then the brown liquors, you know, bourbon, very, very hot. And everybody had to talk about tasting notes and other kinds of things. And I'm like, I would just like the bourbon, please.
Let's get to it.
And then rum. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, rum has become that next thing that is the, now we got to talk about this. We have to have a conversation. All right. Cirellus USA, Don Q Rum, and Barrow's Intense Ginger Liqueur. We'll get to both of those in just a second here. But let's start with the rum. And we've got Anne Marino, who's with us.
And she is
the representative for Cirellus. Right?
Yes,
I
am.
The rum people. Mm, yes. This is a Puerto Rican rum.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Because the Caribbean obviously was the big, you know, sort of the makers of the rum. That's why all the pirates went there, right?
Exactly.
That's why Johnny Depp went there.
That's right. Rented the guyliner down there while looking for rum.
Matter of fact.
A lot of people don't know that.
A matter of fact.
A lot of people don't know that.
And there was a guy named Don Juan Cirellus. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As opposed to, I don't want to confuse anybody, but it's Don Juan. This is not the, that's, it's a different Don Juan. But it's Don Juan Cirellus. And he started.
Listen, Don Juan Cirellus did okay for himself too, pal. All right, don't you worry about that.
I'll bet the guy who was making, who decided.
Can you imagine?
The guy was like, "Hey, look at all the sugar cane I got. What do you think I can do with it? Oh, let's ferment it and see what happens."
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's a true story. So the family started by making sugar, and then everything left over was sitting there fermenting.
Oh,
and they started making rum.
And they're like, hey, you know what?
How about that?
Johnny Depp's going to get down here any century now and want to drink this stuff. We better get moving.
I love that.
Here. That's Anthony Hinos, who's... I totally butchered your last name there. Did you see
that? It happens all the time.
Yes, because I want to go Hinosa, but I cannot. It's
Hinojos?
Hinojos.
Hinojos. Anthony Hinojos. All right, so let's talk about this. What makes this rum... First of all, what's making rum so hot right now?
So rums... As a category, as a spirit category, there's no rules on it. There's no one overseeing the production and saying what you can add to it after distillation, or what, you know, some things like tequila have age requirements on how you have to age it to call it añejo or reposado.
Right.
Rum, for example, is the only spirit category that's identified by color. You know, light rum or white rum, dark rum.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's like it's sort of the rebel.
And because it's made from sugarcane, sugarcane's a grass, you know, it grows on every continent. So they're making rum in Australia, on every continent. You know, we're finding it in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. And so it's really fun that there's a lot of things you can do with rum and how you make it. Mm-hmm. And so our style of rum is a Spanish style. So very clean, very crisp, and nothing added to it, which makes it very different.
Wow. All right, so now hold on.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Excuse me, people.
Let's go ahead and give it a little shot here.
All right, Anthony, we're going to find out for sure.
Exactly what Anthony said.
All right, so now it's Don Q rum.
That's really good.
Does it have to be... right? I mean, does it help if it's aged or not? How does that work?
Definitely. So, I mean, all spirits, you're talking about brown spirits earlier, when time in the barrel just really smooths it out, makes it much smoother, makes it more...
Isn't that great?
It's not what honestly. I would expect from rum.
So,
so how long would you have that in the barrel then, Anthony? When you talk about time in the barrel.
Exactly. So you look at the Caribbean, and down the Caribbean, our average temperatures are 85 degrees year-round. You know, there's not a whole lot of cooling down. Mm-hmm. And so the fibers in the wood are wide open. And so it gives a lot of... it takes less time for that liquid to go in and out of the fibers. And so it ages much more quickly in the Caribbean... rather than Kentucky or...
Sure. Because you're not Scotland. Going through seasons, essentially, right? It's just fairly constant.
Exactly.
And the specific rum you're drinking right now is actually going to be aged from 9 to 12 years.
Oh.
Really?
Yes. No wonder. Because I'm used to drinking rum on vacation, typically, and it's mixed with lots of pineapple stuff and coconut, and it just tastes delicious. But this smooth by itself is incredible. Yeah, remarkable.
But go ahead.
And you're drinking it as an old-fashioned right now, too, which is typically known as a whiskey drink, either a bourbon or a rye. But we have substituted out the rum, and I'm telling you,
it's so smooth and has such flavor that, you know, you get different notes as you go along. Yeah. It's going to take me 9 to 12 minutes to drink the 9 to 12 years, so there you go.
You're talking notes now.
It's back to notes.
When did this happen to us?
It's lovely.
When all of a sudden you're sitting at a bar, and a bunch of guys sitting at a bar, and they're not just, you know, a shot in a beer. It's like,
did you
taste? There's
vanilla
some,
notes.
Well, trust me, though, this is still a grown-up drink.
Mm-hmm. There's slate at the bottom. Yeah, you can taste that. No, it's great on the nose. But this is spectacular.
Isn't it?
Because
outrageously good.
Yeah. And it's got, and rum is always going to be sweeter because it's coming out of the sugar, right? Mm-hmm. But rum was not the kind of drink, at least, it was always a mixer. Drink, right? And now people are drinking it for itself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. And so a lot of the rums that are large in the market are telling you that the best way to drink it is with Coke, you know? It should cost you $10. It's almost cheapening the idea of what rum can be, you know? And so we're trying to show that this is another fine aged spirit that should stand up there with cognac and should stand up there with those higher end whiskeys. If it's made right and aged right, it can be beautiful. Like those other ones.
I'm understanding that now.
Yeah, listen, millennials out there, take a chance. The rum and Coke, your parents met over that. That's how you came to be, all right, in 79. So don't worry about it.
It's dangerous.
the rum and Coke is still the number one ordered cocktail in the world.
Is it really?
It is.
In the world?
In the world. If you look outside the U.S., big... if you look in total, the rum and Coke.
Oh, yeah. Southeast Asia, places like that.
It's the easy go-to.
Yeah. Hmm.
But I'm loving this rum old fashioned. This is a next level.
See, we're good. And do you think that the finest... All right, so in terms of sugarcane crop, because you said it's ubiquitous, it's all over the place, right? Is the sugarcane in Puerto Rico of a different quality, or is it just because of the air drying that you described earlier? Is there something about the sugar itself that...
Well, the family started making sugar, and so we used to use the leftovers. But as time progressed, Puerto Rico's still part of the, you know, the U.S., and so we have OSHA. We have a lot of overhead costs that have driven the sugarcane market off of Puerto Rico. Mm.
Wow.
So now we buy the molasses, which is the leftover after the sugar cane or after the sugar making process. We're now buying it on the free market.
Wow. So it could be from Mostly Caribbean, though?
In the area, exactly. Yeah.
Because it's cheaper to get it there and all. Yeah.
Dominican Republic around the area.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's very good for the Caribbean economy, too. Because, you know, as we all know, you know, it's an angry god that likes to send those hurricanes up and around that horn there of those islands. And they run into problems all the time. And it is such a beautiful part of the world.
Oh.
All the way from Puerto Rico, all the way through that archipelago as you go down to South America. Mm-hmm. And the people, you know, all the way through could not be nicer, better. It's such a great place to go and to visit. Many of those islands are just spectacular, and they've seen a lot of devastation. So anything that can help the economies there would be
Absolutely.
Very, very good. Yeah. All right. So all right. Now I need to know the answer about this ginger liqueur, because you're using this in what is kind of a what's it? It's like a what is, like a margarita.
Gingerita.
It's a gingerita. So it is a ginger liqueur margarita. Basically, we've taken out the triple sec that you usually use in a margarita, and we have substituted out with the Barrow's Intense ginger liqueur.
Oh, okay.
Good, right?
I believe all dentists should have their patients rinse with this from now on. Just like to throw that out there.
I'd be going to the dentist a lot more with that.
I think it's going to sting. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, it's nice.
Wow.
And ginger's an anti-inflammatory, so you got that going for you. See, there's health benefits.
It is. It's also a digestif, which is kind of
And this is actually made from ginger.
Not
just ginger flavor.
It's actual real ginger. We're using two different types of ginger. We're using a Hawaiian ginger from China, and then we're also using a Peruvian ginger. The Hawaiian ginger is going to give it that floral quality that you get, and then the Peruvian ginger is going to give it that kick.
Bite.
Yes, exactly. The bite that we all love. This is only four ingredients. It is the ginger, the water, sugar, and the neutral cane spirit, which is a lot like rum, just distilled at a higher proof.
Wow.
So that's your base liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're using the ginger liqueur as a...
The ginger, we're mixing in the sugar and the water, and we're steeping
them. And you're getting that, so you get that kick. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, now, these recipes will be up at WGNradio.com, and I suggest you throw these together, because it's going to change a party. This is,
I'm telling you, really.
These
spectacular.
Are not like anything I've ever tasted
before,
and yet they're familiar.
Yes, and they're very simple. I mean, they're 3-4 ingredient cocktails.
Perfect.
They're not, you know, you don't have to. And what's great with the ginger, too, is that, you know, some people are trying to make their own syrups, et cetera, and this is all made for you, and it's completely consistent. Oh, okay. So,
can I ask you a question, Ann? Do I have to light anything on fire before I make these cocktails?
You do not.
No, because I, you know.
I would prefer you did not.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Definitely not
after. If there's a fireplace, then maybe you would like to put some fire into the fireplace, but. That's about it.
I'm willing to peel a lemon or an orange or something like that. I'm willing to do that. I'm just not willing to light anything. I'm not willing to do a lot of flourishing. Sometimes you see a guy who's like leaning over the drink and he's doing some little like artwork like in the drink.
Yeah.
And he's like
arranging things.
He's breathing into my drink. I know it's alcohol and I'm kind of okay with it, but I'm like, we don't need
that.
Just pass that along to me now.
It's done.
Yeah. Right?
You need it.
All right.
Or like the smoke of something that just infuses the drink. Yeah. That seems fairly complicated.
Leave that to the bartenders. They don't need
it. Absolutely. Yeah. We each have our roles in this dance.
And ours is drinking.
Respect those. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Don Q Rum. This is what you people
really
have
good,
to
guys.
Check
Thank
out.
You.
Don Q Rum and Barrow's Intense Ginger Liqueur. I think that's going to be so. You can mix that to a lot of things. You can make that work. If you like ginger, you are going to love this.
It's fantastic.
I can even see cooking with
outrageous.
This. All right, so can you? You just
yes, you can for sure. We actually have a cookbook that we have for you guys to look at.
How about that?
We have cooking with rum as well as Barrow's. And if you go to either of the websites, you can see that on there as well.
That was actually Dwayne Johnson's original phrase was going to be, we're cooking with rum, when he was a wrestler.
It didn't work out for him, though.
He went with can you get something different. But
yeah. All right. If you want, where do you buy this at all? We're all fine liquor stores. And are there bars right now that have this?
Yes, there are.
That's for it by name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Yes. Don Q Rum and so Barrow's good. Intense Ginger Liqueur. Thank you very much, Ann and Anthony. Thank you
for
having us.
Appreciate it.
Is the Priscillas right there? And they're awesome. Coming up on the program. This is one of the hardest rocking bands. They are so much fun.
Cool.
If you want to get thrown through the chicken wire at a bar, you hope the Priscillas are up on the stage.
Okay.
Because it feels good as you're... They,
gotcha.
These are very, very, very great musicians. Mm. Two of them I've worked with for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And they reformed with these two other ladies that are just amazing at what they do. And they're Chicagoans. And, you know, we even have a Chicago police officer in this band, which, you know, we're not allowed to say which one.
No.
The superintendent doesn't like to talk about it.
Need to know basis.
But
who's asking?
Yeah, exactly. But they are so much fun, and they are so great, and they are as muscular a rock band as you could ever hope for. And it's International Women's Day, and it just is an accident that this happened.
There you go.
But this is an all-female band that is amazing.
Cool. Cool.
Cannot wait.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Richard Roper.
Yes, sir.
The biggest movie of the year so far has come out this week.
That's true. Captain Marvel in theaters as we speak, tracking to make maybe $150 million this weekend. I'm so glad it's in theaters because there's been all these, I don't know, what do you call them? The kind of geeky...
Trolls.
Virgins. Oh. Trolls, yes. Also, who have been, you know, tearing apart Brie Larson and hating what she's going to do and this and this, that. And, you know, as usual, I'm going to wait to see the movie, which I did, to review it. And I thought it was terrific. It's very entertaining. If you're a fan of that whole Marvel universe, man, they throw in some really cool stuff, tying it into going all the way back to the first Marvel movie almost 20 years ago. And then looking forward, if you don't know all that stuff, you can still just enjoy it as a standalone adventure about Captain Marvel.
And the 90s references.
And the 90s kind of references, get me excited. Because Captain Marvel, played by Brie Larson, who, by the way, she's not Captain Marvel in this movie. She doesn't come, you know, she becomes Captain. It's an origin story, as we like to say. But most of the movie does take place in the United States of America, California, in the mid-1990s. So you hear No Doubt, I'm Just a Girl. And actually, speaking of music, the Priscillas would love this too. Music by Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, whole really cool stuff. And all those great visual references to the mid-90s, including people using the AltaVista search engine when you're trying to figure something out.
Remember
and
that?
And then you would get two results if you looked up someone. You know, I've got two results.
Right.
There's a John Johnson in here and over there.
There's no search engine optimization kind of situation then.
So I thought it was just terrific. So people are going to enjoy that. We talked a little bit about a movie called The Kid, which is a retake on the Billy the Kid legend, which is really good. Triple Frontier. Ben Affleck's comeback vehicle, a heist movie set in South America, which I really loved. And very quickly, too, we didn't get a chance to talk about I'm Not Here, starring the great J.K. Simmons, Academy Award winner. If that one shows up as something you want to check out, he plays a man on his 60th birthday looking back on a life that didn't exactly go as he thought it might go. J.K. Simmons, a great film.
Wow.
In I'm Not Here.
He's one of my favorites.
A lot of stuff out there.
And where do we see that?
That's in theaters. Limited release in theaters. And then it'll be on your streaming. Yeah. And of course, we have episode 2 of season 2 of Very Cavallari this Sunday for people to look forward to.
How'd I miss number 1? We missed it, guys.
No, you were out of town.
Oh.
You were out. You were sick.
I had an exclusive sneak preview.
Oh my gosh,
and I
missed
this. Is Farmin' Jay Cutler has taken the place of Smokin' Jay Cutler. He's now on a hobby farm in Tennessee trying to get a chicken who is not necessarily capable of laying eggs to lay eggs.
He's trying to get a chicken not to get knocked up. And then it turned out that we learned this last week.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Turns out that the chicken wasn't laying eggs properly. Do you have the cut of that? This is,
Blooms the chicken.
Well, I find out why Blooms doesn't want to lay eggs.
Why?
She's a he.
Blooms is a boy?
Yeah. We have no use for boys. He is going to go to chicken heaven soon.
No, we can give Blooms away. How did you figure that out?
Walked out and he was crowing.
Really?
Hens don't do that. Because the roosters go around and...
Oh, I know. They fertilize the eggs.
You know how they fertilize the eggs.
I can't think about Blooms like that.
If he's crowing, then he's ready to roll, I feel like. God. We're going to cut his sex life off pretty quickly.
Poor Blooms.
There you go.
You can tell they're great at farming.
Mm-hmm.
Farming
and acting.
Both.
He's from Christmas Indiana or something?
What was he it?
Is. Santa Claus. Right.
Yeah, Santa Claus. Claus. Santa
Christmas
Claus.
Indiana. That's
right. Something like that.
That's where he's from.
I mean, it's just as creative. What do you think we should name
he's
the
from
town?
Jehovah's, North right. Carolina.
When Zebediah and Santa Jake decided they were going to found the town, what's your favorite holidays? Man. Well, I like the Christmas. What's the name of Christmas? No, you know what's better? Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That just tells you that it had to be that town was named after Coca-Cola invented Santa Claus.
Yeah, it has to have been called something else before that, right?
So they have goats and chickens and everything now, don't they?
Farm? They're on a farm. It's a $6 million property about 30 miles outside of Nashville. But yeah, Jay's farming. And K Cav is working.
Does he talk more and interact more? Is he happier now?
He's never been happier.
Never.
He's having the time of his life. Backward baseball cap, camo outfit, having the time of his life while K Cav goes into Nashville every day and peddles those clothes and trinkets and things. So it's a beautiful thing. It's funny as ever. He's the Kramer of the show, as I always say. When he shows up, you're like, there he is, J Cut.
Oh, God. All right. So, anything on? Should we look for something on episode 2 of season 1, season 2?
All I can say is more drama, more tension.
No,
We'll just leave it at that. And it might be that KKev is so busy that there might not be enough time for Jay Cut to go all the way downfield, so to speak. You know, he's trying to get some alone time there,
and he can't get
She's busy. Yeah,
I like this. I like this show to take like a really weird. Real turn.
Oh, gosh.
On a very special.
Oh, no.
Very cavallari.
Like, what would happen?
Can't do this anymore.
Black China shows up. What's the one that was just with the Kardashian? What's her name? The model?
Oh, yeah. The one who was with Khloe's guy.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Air Jordan. I don't know what her name is. Something like that.
Jordan Woods. Is that her name?
Jordan Woods.
That sounds right.
Jordan something or another?
Tiger Woods.
Maybe Tiger Woods shows up. Actually, he goes downtown to Nashville to go to the office, like, where's my wife? And then there's Tiger Woods in the office. Uh-huh. Like a little, like kind of glowy a little bit and maybe shirtless. Oh, and like, you know, I was just using the shower in the office. Wait, what?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I'd like see now that you want to get ratings.
Here you go.
Wait, we have a little clip from this week.
Oh my God. When Jay and I were first dating, honestly, we were probably dating for 4 or 5 months, and I convinced him to get a colonic. He was like, well, I want to sit in with you when you get yours. I don't know what to expect.
What? You let him?
Yes, I did. Like,
what?
Jay and I sat in on each other's colonics.
I can't process that.
I know.
It was the 1 year Jay made the Pro Bowl, by the way. The year he had the colonic, so make of that what you will.
Now, how come nobody at a press conference is asking these people, why is your show so white and so stupid?
Like they did with the Hills people.
Yeah. Wasn't she from? What was she from?
She's from Laguna Beach.
Laguna Beach, okay. Mm-hmm. Same idea, though, right, as the Hills?
Oh, they're all, yeah. All, it's like, you know, okay. It's like the Marvel Universe. They're all connected.
Okay.
It's like the Dumbbell Universe. It's very similar. What's your superpower? I get people to buy this crap.
Can we play this again? This is from the top 5 and 5. This may be my favorite awkward celebrity moment. This is the awkwardness of 2019 meets dumb celebutantes, right? This is where it all kind of comes together. This is The Hills. They're doing a reboot of The Hills. This is a Vogue magazine reporter asking this question of The Hills star.
Do you wish that there was a little more diversity represented?
We don't all look the same. I mean, Adrina has darker hair. I feel like Misha has darker hair. But yeah, we're California girls, and it's a group of friends, and that just happens to be the group that came together. But, that's just the way the show was. I have other very diverse friends that are not featured on the show.
Because the consultant said they shouldn't be.
Because we're California girls, which has a majority minority in the state.
You can see her running out of what little steam she has there halfway through the answer. Like, I don't like this question. You should die.
And basically, the bottom line is that we are friends, and we don't really want to be friends with people that don't look like us.
We don't kept stopping herself. She wanted to say allow or lad or no.
Where are you trying to go here, Heidi?
Who's next? Is somebody from Teen Vogue here?
Where is this going to be aired?
The Hills reboot?
Yeah.
On the Revisionist History Channel, where things changed in World War II.
It's pretty fitting.
Is it? Man. Where was it originally?
It was on MTV.
That's true. Back in the day.
Wow. It is MTV's bringing it back.
All that.
What does MTV do now?
The Kardashians like own MTV now, I believe. They're just.
Oh, they're on E.
Oh, they're on E. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, MTV was the really did invent. Remember that? The Real World was MTV.
Yes, they were
and
like
all that
the
stuff.
Original of the reality programming.
Road Rules. Remember Road Rules?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Man. That was some good challenges there, brother.
Some good challenges.
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover showing up a little bit later with young Pauly Shore. Spring Break 92. Snow is going to be performing.
That was like awesome. Those
were
rush home from school and watch them.
MTV used to make me feel young. Like I would like my parents were like, "What the hell is MTV?" And like you know, people like a year older than me were like, "What the hell is MTV?" And I'm like, "Don't you know like Mark Goodman?" You know. And now when I bring that up, when I bring up the original VJs, who all now, so especially the, they all sound like old people now. They're all on satellite radio.
Hi, I'm Martha Quinn.
Right.
Maybe I should have stopped smoking when I was 60, but I didn't. I'm now going to do this radio show through this hole in my trach tube.
Oh, God.
And then and Mark Goodman is like, and then I remember the time that Vanilla Ice came by. It's like it's weird how
it
all of a sudden
weird.
Everything
how they're old all of a sudden.
Yeah, everything got right. Yeah, I mean, everybody turned 50, and it was like, what? How'd that happen?
I like Alan Hunter. I've kept in touch with Alan's work over the years. He's fantastic. So there,
Alan Hunter's nice. They're all like super nice.
I remember meeting Mark Goodman. He was super nice too. Way back, I think he actually had a stint in Chicago, Mark, after the first MTV stuff, because I think they paid them each $4. I mean, total $4.
Yes,
when they and they became global superstars. Because remember, they'd introduced the world premiere. Tonight, the world premiere of John Mellencamp's Small Town.
I know. And they played videos. Which
the videos.
And
which
now you say to the kids.
Major deal.
See those. People don't know what a video is anymore.
Remember AHA?
Mm-hmm.
With all the pencil drawings coming to life. That was some good stuff.
That was awesome.
Still to this day, there's an app where you can put yourself in the AHA video. I'm not making that up. That take on
That's
me.
Wow.
Be that day.
We have real live music coming up.
Yeah, thank goodness the Priscillas can take us out of the muck.
Thanks be.
And into the rock.
To God. And we will do that on the other side. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Huntley residents will pay their last respects to a fallen officer.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
All right. I want to prepare everybody for what you're about to hear.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And I don't know if I'm able to properly prepare for this. Because the Priscillas are here. And this is, if you see the Priscillas coming to a venue near you, run, do not walk to Definitely. Go see them. As a matter of fact, next week on the 15th, it's a week from tonight, they're going to be at the Quarry Bar in Lamont. And then this is a show you should not miss. On Saturday night, March 30th, and Sunday, March 31st, at Firewater Saloon, which is in Mount Greenwood.
Oh.
Okay. Look out.
What a fun show.
Perfect.
Look out.
Perfect marriage of music and venue.
Right.
Yeah, love that.
What's the night on that one?
That's two nights. That's Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st. It's going to be Saturday to Sunday.
We bring our sleeping bags and
You're never going to stop, are you?
Have you guys ever thought about an opening back act called Bell Bondsman? Because I might need one if I can all three shows.
They actually have one that just sits at the back of the bar and writes your tickets as you go out. Yeah, you do it. It's like a processing center there. It's very easy. All right, what do you guys want to do for us first?
We're going to do an original tune called Why Do I Wait?
Take it away, the Priscillas.
So I can take my mama to
Well, I'm so tired, expired, ripped up, ragged, wicked and wild. So now I'm giving up, giving up on this love. I try to fill you up, but it was never enough. I'm gonna let go, letting you know. Gonna tell my mama I don't see you no more. I've been reflecting, she's been directing me. The pride.
Hello.
Just want to say, I told you so.
You're so right.
I want to say right now because I want to.
Amazing.
Anna's like, I don't think I've ever heard of them.
I hadn't. And I was like, I met them and they were really cool people. And then I was like, I want to hear them play.
See those
and
doors
wow.
over there, they just blew them off. That's
they
how they
totally
do it.
They totally did.
Bam.
And how about shredding the guitar?
Great stuff.
More of Kimmy. Oh, my God.
Woo!
That is.
Hello.
I mean, these are rock stars. Yeah. And again, you can see them at Firewater. And again, apply for bond first, and then go to the show.
Bring your attorney.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I always do.
I know you do. Travel with your
right,
attorney.
I'm going to tell Mike Monaco, if Michael Cohen doesn't pay, just stand there at the door, geez. And you're going to pick up a bunch of stuff. That's going to be on Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st at Firewater in Mount Greenwood on 111th Street. And then next Friday, actually, you can go see him at the Quarry in Lamont.
Cool.
But stay right here. More music from the Priscillas coming your way. But first, Kim Gordon's news brought to you by Townstone Financial. I want to write you a song. All right, wait, hold on a second. This is a recorded version of this. These are the Priscillas, and I want to hear them play live because they're in Studio G right now, and they are preparing themselves for just a run up to 7 o'clock that you will be very glad that you stuck around for. If you've come back, told you about this earlier, and then you've come back, I thank you for doing this, and you'll thank me for doing this because the Priscillas are the best working band in Chicago right now. There are no two ways around this. They are the most fun to watch. It is just, you know, you've got these four lovely ladies who are on the stage, and you're like, oh, what are they going to play, honey? And then look out!
Rock your brains out.
right. Your ears come off. It's like, it is the most amazing. It is, every time I've seen them, and, you know, I had the great pleasure of back in the 90s and 2000s working with Paul Lamar and Kimmy Hayes on a number of different live shows, and just amazing. And now there's like a whole new energy to what's going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got great writing. You're doing a lot of original music. Great stuff. Along with Jenny Rakus and Angela Fett. And it's made all the difference here. All the difference. It is so much fun. Priscillas are going to be in Mount Greenwood on the 30th and 31st of March at Firewater. And they're laughing because they're always in Mount Greenwood, but they're going to be at Firewater.
Really? We'll be in Mount Greenwood?
Yeah. And again, bring your parole officer with you. They'll really enjoy it. And then next Friday, if you want to go see them out in Lamont, I don't know how you get out of Lamont after you've been, you know, because Lamont, they're tough. That Lamont police chief is a badass police chief in Lamont. Uber is my suggestion.
Great
to you if
idea.
You go there, right, at the Quarry in Lamont next Friday night. All right. What do you want to play for us here?
We're going to play a little ditty called Higher and Higher with Kimmy Hayes on lead vocals.
Oh, here we go. Take it away. The Priscillas.
One, two. Forevermore. You know your love keeps lifting me. Keeps
water. Well, I was downhearted. Disappointment was my closest friend. But then you came and it soon departed. You know he'll never show his face again. Well, you know your love,
your love keeps lifting me,
keeps on lifting me,
keeps on lifting me
higher. That one in a million, girl. And I'll wrap my loving arms around you. I can stand up, oh, and face the world. You know your love,
your love keeps lifting me,
keeps on lifting me,
keeps on lifting me
higher,
lifting me higher and higher, higher.
You know your love,
your love keeps lifting me,
keeps on lifting me.
Is right.
Oh my God.
I can't believe they're in studio. That just is like so incredible.
I know. And that's right here.
Like they're right here.
They're right across
like that came from right here.
That is the great Kimmy
Chicago
Hayes
women.
Right there. I don't know how they keep getting so excited when I say nice things about them. They're the most self-hating band in Chicago history. The Priscillas. And let's do another one here before we take the break, because we want to get as much music as we possibly can in here. This is another original song, right?
Yes, it's called Beautiful as You.
I want to write you a song. As beautiful as you. Gonna sing it loud and strong. I wanna write you a song as beautiful as you. I wanna paint you a world, the color of sunlight. Hey. Wanna paint you a brand new world with no tears, no war, no strife. I wanna paint you a world as beautiful as you. Oh, yes I do. 'Cause I don't care if I ever get to heaven, 'cause I've been saved by your smile. I feel so blessed to have.
turn your cloudy day to sky blue. Gonna make all your dreams come true. That's what I intend to do, yeah. Gonna make all your dreams come true. To heaven, cause I've been saved by your smile, your sweet smile. I feel so blessed to have you here and now, yeah. You make my soul take, you make my soul take flight. I wanna write you a song as beautiful as you. Yeah. Wanna write you a song. Can you feel it? Can you feel it too? Can you feel it? I wanna write you a song.
Gosh.
It appears you just did, by the way. That's what that appears to me to be. All right. We got more music from the Priscillas coming your way. Go see the Priscillas live. You can see them next Friday at the Quarry in Lamont. And then Saturday and Sunday, March 30th and 31st at Firewater. I'll be at that show. And I'm bringing my handcuffs. I'm going to handcuff myself so that when
officer arrest me.
Right. Well, I'll just act like I've already been taken into custody and I'll sneak out the back door. We're going to. More music from the Priscillas, but first, Andre Darlos, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, I do not want to waste any more time. I want live music from the Priscillas right here
please.
On 720 WGN out of Studio G. See the Priscillas next weekend at the Quarry in Lamont. Or, again, you know, bring whatever, bring bail money if you want to go see them. Go see them on the weekend of the 30th and 31st down in Mount Greenwood, because that is going to be a show for the ages. Ladies and gentlemen, the Priscillas.
Shelter. Oh, I'm gonna feel.